This is CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Lionel, and this is The Laws of Life, and you can get a hold of us at It's Law. You do the spelling.
H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W. Our Facebook page, The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg.
Please do like the page.
Well, there you go.
Tick, tick, tick. Click, click, click.
Okay, today we have an attorney in studio. He's attorney Nuno Palmera of McLaren's, spelt like the motor car?
Yes.
McLaren's. McLaren's attorneys, Fast and Furious of Johannesburg. Today we're talking about grandparents. Why, Lionel?
Oh, well, because on Sunday, I believe it's going to be Grandparents' Day, and grandparents are pillars of our social system. And most of the time, if then their kids or passed away, they look after the kids. They raise their grandchildren, like I was raised by my grandparent.
Yeah, a lot of kids are today.
Yes.
Yeah, parents are working, and kids, especially in rural areas,
yes,
are looked after by granny and grandpa.
Yes, and
Umkulu and
Umkulu Mncane. But they simply say it takes the village to raise a child, so this is where grandparents come.
There's a lovely saying. They say it takes a mother can look after 10 children, but 10 children can't look after a mother, which is quite horrible, but it's very true often.
Especially with our fast and furious lifestyle that we live in the urban areas, we would rather chuck them in an old age and you pretend like
that. They are sad. A mother can look after 10 children, but 10 can't look after her. I so often see that. Where kids are just dumping their parents, and you say, but why? Your mom raised you and your siblings?
Is it not socially a stigma of really trying to say, I have my life to live, and now I just need to really focus on my life and forget about them?
Yeah, selfish, hedonistic lifestyles we lead, Lance.
Is it also not a cultural thing? Because in our culture, I can't really take my grandparents to an old age in our African culture. Either they will stay with the uncle, the older one, or after that, they'll move to the older aunt.
The way actually, it should be, actually.
Yes, yeah. Who's going to actually look after her if then she gets to that stage where she cannot actually look after herself because somebody will need to bath her and all those things. And it's a privilege, by the way. I must say, it's a privilege to look after an old person.
Mm. Well, it's also a legal obligation.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's the voice of Nuno Palmera. He's our specialist family lawyer today. Nuno, we're going to talk about grandparents and generally, the first question I'd like to, I'm just going to fire them at you and test your knowledge on
family law.
Very often, we know that there's a messy divorce. Let's assume that the wife or the mother walks out with the children. She then becomes very harsh towards the paternal grandparents and very often says, listen, I'm not going to let you see the kids. Your son is a rotter and I'm going to punish you. And you're not going to see the kids. It happens time and time again. You know, as a family lawyer, I'm sure they come to you with that. What's the answer?
Well, Gary, the simple answer is everything has to start with the child itself. So our constitution and our law actually governs that everything to do with a child, any decision taken for a child, must be in its best interests. So when we deal with that scenario of grandparents, in a sense, being ostracized from their grandchildren, one must bear in mind whether it's in the best interests of the child to actually have a relationship with that grandparent. And most of the cases say yes. Most scenarios say yes. It's definitely...
Notwithstanding, Nuno, that the father... Let's assume that the father is a rotter. He's a bad father. He may even be a bit of a drug addict. He could be an alcoholic. He could be anything bad. But his parents are good. Does it still give the parents the right to see the kids? And is that not affected by the conduct of the father?
The conduct of the father is seen in a parental light. Mm. The conduct of the grandparents, they don't have an automatic right to contact. They have the contact as awarded to them by the parents. But they have, and the Supreme Court has actually agreed with this, they have an inherent right. So even if mom is being difficult and saying, I'm not going to let you see them as a punishment, they can actually go to the children's court or even the high court when necessary and apply to have contact with those children. And the best interest standard says it's in a child's best interest to maintain contact with parent and members of the extended family. They have a right to be raised in a controlled family environment, which includes members of the extended family.
How practically is this policed or promoted. How can a grandparent, you said the children's court, how do they do it? How efficient is the children's court in getting the grandparents the rights of visitation? Does it mean that the grandparents can actually have the kids sleep over at their house? Or is it only a visitation? What is there that the grandparent can get?
Okay, so to answer your first question, every magistrate's court in the country is, for all intents and purposes, a children's court as well. And regrettably, I must inform you that depending on which children's court you go to, depends on the kind of service you receive. Mm. The grandparents, actually, to do this, they don't need a lawyer. They can simply just go to the children's court clerk. They receive a little form and they say, what are you here for? And the clerk actually assists them to fill out the application. I've had situations where a grandparent applies for contact and the court says, look, it's not in the best interest to force the contact because, one, you can't force children to do what they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, the other avenue is that if there's conflict, will the conflict actually impact the relationship and will the forcing the relationship actually have an adverse effect on the child? And it's a varying view because, as I said earlier, you need to actually make a decision that's in the best interest of that child specifically. So each case needs to be looked at individually, whether visitation's for an hour or for sleepover contacts or for days or even holiday contact. It all depends on each individual situation, what the facts are, and what the dynamics of the relationships involved are in that relationship.
Let's talk about the children's court. Who gets subpoenaed to court? Is it the mother who's refusing the rights of access or visitation and the father as well, or is it just the mother who...
So let's put it this way. In essence, when you bring an application before the children's court, you're either a holder of parental rights or you're an interested party in the child. A grandparent would fall into that category. So they come to court, they say, right, this is what I want to bring. The court will automatically inform the holders of parental rights. So whether the father is a loose cannon and a complete nutter, he will be informed and given a notice to attend the proceedings, and the mother will as well. And the court won't make an order until the views of everyone, including the child, where age appropriate, is taken into account. Sometimes in situations, parents refuse to attend. They just simply say, well, I'm not going to abide by this notice. I don't have to. And only in those cases where the court feels it's absolutely necessary for that person to come to court and actually answer questions will the court actually issue a subpoena and go further.
Mm.
It's also very rare that a court orders a child to come in. They usually only order, for lack of a better word, the adults.
Mm.
And only where the child is of a sufficient age and maturity do they call them.
On that very note, Madonna has just lost custody of her boy to Guy Ritchie, her husband, or they're getting divorced, on the basis that the boy, the child, who I'm not sure what his age is, but he's old enough to, I think he's, not sure, he's old enough to have expressed his desire. He says, I want to live with my dad.
I don't want
to live with you. And our South African courts are saying the same thing.
Yes.
I think the child is 11 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it becomes a difficulty, and that's really where you get the social workers involved, the Department of Social Welfare and Development. Mm. They are actually tasked with the obligation of assessing the situation, conducting family investigations. We as a legal profession rely heavily on our colleagues in the psychology profession to actually see what's going on, what is the family dynamics, and what would be appropriate for the child.
Oh, you know, this is quite interesting because, let's say if I live in a rural areas, like most of the time in rural areas, you'd find that grandparents actually look after their kids. But then, most grandparents are not actually knowledgeable about this thing. So they actually go to the chief and the chief makes a ruling. Is that actually recognized in law?
The Children's Act doesn't make provision for that at all.
Okay.
Children's courts and high courts where guardianship's involved. That's mainly it. But no, the Children's Act doesn't necessarily itemize that you can approach a traditional leader or chieftain.
So how can the rural people actually approach a magistrate court, for example, and what sort of information do they need insofar as going that route?
Okay, so it's actually quite simple. You simply are allowed to walk in. The queues are long, regrettably, but you simply walk in. You have to have all the details of the family, of course, names, date of birth, numbers, identity numbers, and physical addresses. They're entitled to simply walk in and have a conversation with the clerk of the children's court. Most courts that I've practiced in usually have two or three clerks that assist the members of the public. and they actually get all the information. And sometimes you'll find that they actually assist the parties in referring the issue to something out of court first to try and resolve it amicably, either through mediation, potentially through a chieftain perhaps, because that would be within the rural climate. I suspect that a court or a clerk dealing with the issue in that situation would be fully entitled to say, listen, can you not approach your traditional leader to try and mediate these issues? Because one thing is clear is that the Children's Act says you should avoid putting children in a litigious scenario or a court scenario at all costs. You should try and avoid
absolutely.
That completely.
This is quite...
So, Lyons, I think we've got that when it comes to kids, it's the magistrate's court and not the traditional courts that govern this. I guess if they may govern it unofficially, but I guess officially it's got to go through, as you say, one of the courts, the magistrate's court. Mm. Let's talk for a moment about the maintenance issue. Mm. Is a grandparent obliged to maintain a child? I could even reverse it later. Is a grandchild obliged to maintain a grandparent, or is a child obliged to maintain his own parent? But let's start with the first one.
Okay, let's start with the first leg. The legal obligation to maintain a child comes from what we call the common law, but that's something legal. No, not necessary to explain that. But in essence, every parent has a legal obligation to maintain their child until they're 18 or self-supporting. Mm-hmm. Now, a grandparent isn't also...
Sorry, even if they have no rights to the child, if they don't see the child...
Correct.
It doesn't matter. If you've had a child and you move away and you say, I don't want to have anything to do with that kid, which is very common... You still got to pay maintenance for it. We all know that.
Yes, that is exactly correct.
It doesn't matter whether you see. So often, Nuno, people come along and say, well, I'm not paying because I don't see the kid, so why should I pay?
It is during initial queries and consults, it's an issue that comes up again and again. I don't see my child, so why should I pay for it?
Yeah.
Or on the reverse, the custodian parent says, I'm not getting paid enough. I'm going to refuse contact.
Yes, that's very common. Yeah.
And regrettably, it's not legal.
Yeah.
The maintenance obligation comes from the common law and the Maintenance Act. Your parental rights of contact are something completely separate and are governed by the Children's Act.
If you live in a foreign country, assuming you live in Lesotho, you have a child with a South African woman, you go back to Lesotho, you spent a night with her, you never see the kid, you're still obliged to pay maintenance.
In terms of South African law, yes. And there are mechanisms to actually enforce our maintenance orders outside the country. We have certain legislation and agreements with other international countries that allow our automatic enforcement.
I want to bring you back on all this, so you don't give away too much today.
Okay, that's fine.
But it's so interesting. I'm sorry. Yeah, so it doesn't matter where you are in the world.
You can always try and enforce the order, yes. Depending on which country you try and enforce, sometimes the country itself will say, no, we're not going to enforce the South African order.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to grandparents.
Okay, grandparents. So, as I said earlier, parents have the main obligation. Mm. But where a parent passes away or is unable to maintain the child for whatever reason, you have to turn to the closest relatives to the parent. Mm. So, for example, let me put you in a scenario where a father is 17 years old, doesn't have a job, doesn't have a career. Mm. In that situation, you could potentially say it's automatic that his parents must contribute his portion to the child. But it's not automatic. It first must be satisfied that he doesn't have the ability to maintain the child. Then you can approach the
grandparents. What happens if the mother of the child wants 1,000 rand a month? The 17-year-old can only pay 500. She needs 1,000. Can she then go to the grandparents or for the other 500?
She can. The courts take a very varied view on this. And the magistrates' courts in the cases I've seen, they say, well, look, if the dad can only afford 1,000. What are the basic needs of the child? Mm. Are they 1,000 or are they 2,000? If they're 2,000, is there any other source that could cater for the shortfall?
I have a case, Nuno, where the grandfather is quite wealthy. The mother, they divorced. The mother of the children wants to send the kids to a private school. The father says, I can't afford it. She says, well, then I'm going to go to your parents and get them to pay.
Well, you see, when it comes to schooling, it becomes a bit of a sketchy situation.
Is this interesting, Lance?
That is very interesting because I'm just trying to...
I can see you. You concentrate.
Yes, no, I am.
You see, the difficulty comes in that you'd have to look at the standard of living of the children. So if the children have been accustomed to going to private school and all of a sudden, because the father lacks the ability to, they're now going to be put into a government school, the court may call the grandparents and say, look, can you cater for the shortfall? Mm. But generally speaking, you have to maintain the child on the standard of living it's accustomed to.
Yeah.
So we're a child in government school and now mom decides now I want to send it to a private school. I have reservations that the court would force grandparents to contribute the shortfall there. Mm. But in the reverse scenario where the standard has been a private school, the court would try every effort possible to maintain that standard of living. So I would suspect that if the father wasn't able to cater for it, the grandparents could be called to cater for the shortfall.
Wealthy grandparents are always in jeopardy here of having to contribute. It may be, I call it jeopardy, maybe they want to, but assuming that they have no relationship with the child, it was...
It becomes a bittersweet pill.
Very bittersweet, yeah. There was, it was just a once-off encounter between their son and a woman, and now they landed up having to pay for someone that they don't really have any relationship with, but that's not the issue, as you say.
Yeah, that's not the issue for the maintenance. The maintenance, yeah, as I said, is a legal obligation. But for grandparents who aren't actually having contact with their grandchildren, they can approach the court immediately and ask for the court to award them contact with that child. Now, obviously, at first, if in the scenario you said there's no contact whatsoever, it was a fly-by-night, whether the first question is whether the grandparents actually want to be involved. If they do, and they apply to a court to have contact, the contact will be what we call phased in. So initially there'll be an introduction, and then they'll see the child maybe once a month. As time goes by, they'll then increase the contact to, okay, maybe you see the child twice a month, three times a month, and try and see if the development of the relationship is being accepted by both child and grandparent. Mm. And from then on, it can be increased and adjusted accordingly to cater for the child's interests.
There's a very well-documented case. I don't know if you know it, in the Western Cape. Do you know which one I'm talking about? I don't know it offhand, where the grandparents' duty of support was considered by the Western Cape Division of the High Court. I think the case is N versus B, unreported case. I don't know if you know it offhand. What are the facts there? Do you know it offhand?
I'm not familiar with N versus B.
Yeah.
However, there's several other cases. I mean, the Western Cape decision dealt with a case called Barnard versus Miller,
yeah,
where it actually said that in circumstances, the reciprocal duty of maintenance between parent and child will be extended automatically to grandparent and grandchild. But that, again, is only where the parent is unable through being deceased or lack of means to maintain the child.
We know that children have to support their parents as well. That's obvious.
Yeah, it's kind of a reversal of the roles. So that's why it's a reciprocal relationship. When you're a baby, you rely on your parents. The same goes that when they get elderly and they are unable to maintain themselves, the legal obligation falls on you as a child to contribute to their maintenance and make sure they're cared for.
What happens if the children of the elderly can't afford it, but the grandchildren have won the lotto or become very successful? Do they have to contribute?
I've never heard of a case of that nature. There may be one. Mm. But I would assume that because our courts have enforced the relationship as being reciprocal between grandparents and grandchildren, I would say that the same rule would apply. Mm. You can reverse the roles and get grandchildren to maintain their grandparents, I would say.
You're a family law attorney.
Yes.
That means you handle matrimonial and maintenance and all the rest. Do you get called out at night, phoned, my husband's breaking the door down, all that kind of stuff?
Yes, quite often. In fact, I think last night I had a phone call of that nature.
What did you do?
Well, it becomes difficult because depending on the situation, last night thankfully wasn't a domestic violence issue. It was simply an issue of parents disagreeing on what method to approach a dispute between them about the child. Mm. But what you do in that situation, depending on the severity, you may have to approach a court urgently for relief. That very night, you may have to phone an urgent judge or magistrate and say, look, this is a situation that needs urgent care. If the court doesn't intervene, yet something is going to happen that is bad. It's going to be a bad consequence, and sometimes it may even involve someone's life.
How do the police, if you phone the police, how do they handle this? They're supposed to take this very seriously, domestic violence.
Yes, domestic violence is serious. Yeah. I had a call from a client over the weekend where her husband was actually assaulting her, and the police arrived and said, look, we can't do anything without a protection order. Mm. So she phoned me, and I spoke to the officer on duty. I said, look, you can't actually leave this woman in this house
alone.
It's an assault. You need to actually inform her that she needs to lay a charge. Mm. And the ultimate result was she approached the domestic violence court the very next morning with the support of the police.
Yes.
As far as I understand. Mm. And through that route, she was able to get protection immediately from the assault and the physical abuse.
I think one day we'll get you back very soon to talk about protection orders, which is something we should all know about. Very quickly, you can just amble over into the magistrate's court and get yourself a protection order. There's all kinds of conditions and you've got to get it right. You can't just somehow get it. This is a very effective way of protecting yourself.
It is.
Yeah.
In fact, you find that in many, especially with divorce and children, many situations where people are fighting often deteriorate into acrimony, verbal abuse, physical assaults. And the easiest way to deal with it is to actually bring the matter to a head, get a protection order that says, listen, stop your shenanigans or I'm going to arrest you.
Mm.
And the courts are quite strict about if there is any form of abuse happening, they have to actually enforce a protection. The law actually says they have to do it.
Yeah. I wrote an article very recently for the Caxton newspapers. It was printed all over. I think Sandton Chronicle this week or last week printed it. One of the quotes that I mention is the following. It says, the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Now, this is this is a quote that I saw. It was posted on social media. It reached 17 million people. It caused a massive debate. The post was shared and commented on by hundreds of thousands. It caused a hell of a lot of dissension. In a perfect world, yes, where, you know, you should, the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Sometimes you just can't love the mother. I think we all accept that. We always say just treat in front of your children, treat their mother with kind of respect, bite your tongue, because it's not going to help slander her. And it's absolutely correct.
You know, as much as people want to say the phrase or the quote is incorrect, it is actually very correct, because at the end of the day, the best thing for you to do is to actually have a conversation with your partner or your ex-husband, your ex-boyfriend, the father of your children or the mother of your children. The easiest solution is for you two to get along. So avoid acrimony, avoid fighting. That way you guys can make joint decisions about your children without resorting to any form of aggression or
You know, so many of these matrimonial matters are motivated by malice, by hurt.
Greed.
Yeah, well often, one of them, you know, nothing, what is the scorned woman and the scorned man, whatever.
Yes.
So people don't think logically and rationally, and it comes out unfair, unfortunately, on the kids.
Yes.
Which is what you have to deal with all the time.
Precisely. I find often that the best solution there is to actually immediately and as soon as possible put in place a proper parenting plan to make sure the parties know how they're meant to engage with each other, how they're meant to behave, and how they're meant to take decisions. And in that parenting plan, you need to have appropriate steps to be taken if there's a breakdown.
Yeah. Before I let you go, anything in particular on Grandparents' Day on Sunday, do you want to wish anyone, your grandparents, are they around?
I only have one left, and thankfully she's relocated to South Africa to live with my mother. Okay. I just wanted to say a shout out to her. Thank you for coming and staying with us, and have a great Grandparents' Day.
You, Lions?
I don't have grandparents, but to all the other grandparents who raised me in from my village, I just want to say thanks for the love and the support.
Benji, you want to say anything? Come forward. I have a mother who's a loving grandmother, Beryl. I'd like to thank her for the love she gives to my little boy. Yeah, Benji, you too.
Yeah, I've got a gran in Cape Town, so lots of love all the way that side of town. And my mom herself, from my sisters having kids, she's also a grandmother, so lots of love to her, and also my grandmother here. And yeah, happy Grandparents' Day, everybody.
Yeah, that's Benji Scheinberg, our researcher. Lionel Makoka-Klela, who's our contributor. We've had a great guest today, Nuna Palmero of McLaren's Attorneys. They're in Johannesburg.
In Randburg.
In Randburg. Thank you for this. We're going to get you back.
Absolute
and we're going to
pleasure.
Talk about all kinds of issues on family matters. To all the wonderful grandparents out there, keep up the good work. Nothing better than love for a kid. And on that note, many thanks to you for listening. And until next Tuesday, 12 noon, I'm Gary Hertzberg.
I'm Lionel. Bye. Cheerio.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.